Welcome to a place where two HR professionals, who happen to be twins, by the way, have shop talk about HR, careers, and all the things you want to say at work but won't. The Career Salon is a place to relax, a place to learn, and a place to be yourself.
This is a judgment-free zone where we put it all on the table to become better. We learn many things from our guests and hope you grab a couple of things to take with you as well. We spend most of our time at work, so let's talk about what that means. Come on in. The salon is open.
In the salon with us for this episode is Earl Dunn. Earl is an action-oriented and passionate talent acquisition leader with 15-plus years of experience defining, training, and embodying successful talent acquisition practices within corporate and agency environments. Earl has a diverse blend of business partner, coach, and matchmaker skills, who does the work to understand root cause and identify long-term solutions in partnership with executives and talent allies. An avid learner, certified in multiple facets of recruiting, a Rutgers University graduate with a Bachelor's of Arts in Journalism, and empathetic student of humanity. Earl currently resides in Northern New Jersey with his wonderful wife and three children, who are the best teachers and inspiration for all that he does. Welcome to the podcast, Earl. Welcome to the Career Salon Podcast with the HR Twins. Woo! We're back for another episode. And this is Camille, by the way. We have a special guest who is my friend. His name is Earl Dunn, and he is, how can I describe Earl? So he's like literally one of the best recruiters I know. He's in my top three. So you know how T-Mobile has the top five fave? Yeah, that's Earl in my top three, I would say, for talent acquisition professionals. He's a manager. He's a leader. He's an executive. He does all the things. And he's really good with data and analytics on the talent side, which I am not very strong in. So I'm glad to have Earl in the, you know, on the podcast with us, because we're talking about, which I love this topic, not for myself, but just for general. I'm Earl today. Data-centric recruiting with a personal touch. And I love it because I've experienced the personal touch of Earl on being a candidate and him being the recruiter. So welcome, Earl, to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, so much for having me. Looking forward to diving in this conversation.
Right, and I think this is Earl's first podcast, so we're glad you could come see us first, because I feel like you're going to be on a number of these in the future, and I'm glad we got to speak with you first.
Thank you. Thanks for showing me the ropes.
So, of course, prior to this, we read your bio, but we want to, we want people to get to know you just in general, maybe what's beyond the bio. So if you could just give us, what's your elevator pitch, which we tell our audience all the time they should have, right? So we're putting you on the spot here, Earl. What's your elevator pitch?
Wow. Okay. Well, I always start off in everything in life with connection before I talk about the content. So I'm going to tell you about some personal stuff first, just to give you a little bit of a sense of who I am outside of the job. But proud father of three, New York sports fan, a foodie, craft beer connoisseur, and like to have a little bourbon cocktail from time to time as well. I like to think I can talk and create conversation with anybody from any walk of life. As a professional, you know, I'm a former business owner. I'm a proud business partner, and I really am someone that strives to create meaningful relationships, both with people I work with to support, as well as people that I lead. Really love all things talent acquisition. For me, it's more than just filling roles. It's about the long-term journey of talent.
Now, see, you guys, I told you all that, you know, we had a professional in the podcast today. Look at that elevator pitch. That was awesome. Thanks, Earl. So how many years have you been in TA?
My journey is still, you know, relatively new, I'd say. It's about 15 years or so. I had a couple of walks of life before talent acquisition and recruiting found me. As I mentioned before, I was an entrepreneur and owned a couple of businesses. But so far, about 15 years.
And what has kept you, I mean, like you and I, we've been around the same amount of time. I just had 18 years in TA last week,
But I mean, past 10 years is like a long time to be in talent acquisition. So what keeps you going in the field?
Yeah, you know, I think it's the same thing for all of my professional ventures. As a, even my first job as a kid, you know, working at an ice cream store, I like to help people. I genuinely do enjoy people, some more than others, but I think the ability to connect with people and really create those relationships and feel like I'm providing value every single day, whether it's my clients or people I'm partnering with, it just, it gives me a sense of energy and recharge.
Awesome. So let's talk about, let's dig into the data-centric approach and talent with the personal touch, because I've never delved into like the analytics metrics. I know we talk about this all the time between you and I, and it's not something that I've built up a strength in, but maybe I would like to, but I always think like people before processes. And I guess I find it difficult to find that balance between talent and metrics and analytics. Tell me how you got into the balance of that and finding out that you needed to do both, and also with the personal touch.
No, absolutely. Thank you. So, you know, I hesitate to say analytics, right? Like for me, it's just data in general. I think there's data everywhere in the universe, and how you use that is up to the individual. And I don't think there's one clear-cut metric that really is going to be a guiding post for success. I think you really need to understand like what's the information that's available and what is it trying to tell you. So for me, I use them as kind of like alerts or warnings or things along those lines. If you think about your dashboard on your vehicle, you're not necessarily overwhelmed when you see a check engine light, but you're like, uh-oh, I better do something here. Is it low tire pressure? Is it got to change the oil? But doesn't mean the whole car is going to come to a complete stop. And that's what I mean when I talk about data, is just understanding what the environment is, what should we be looking for and kind of keeping our eyes and ears open for, and then how are we going to correct that? How are we going to rectify it? And also getting a buy-in around that, right? So whether it's the executives you're working with, whether it's a hiring manager, whether it's your team, it's getting everybody on the same page about what that mutual goal is and what the key data is to tell that story to keep us all kind of accountable.
I may be putting some questions that need to go at the end right here, but I really want to know, you've been in several industries, you've owned your own business, why TA, and do you see yourself in it for the long haul?
Ooh, great question. Why TA? There's two parts here. Let me unpack that. So first, why TA? I love hearing people's stories. You know, it's, to me, a long time ago, I majored in journalism in school, and I thought I wanted to be a movie reviewer, and I wanted to kind of digest those movies and take them apart. And when I came out and realized no one really wanted to hear about my opinion until I started to get deeper into journalism first, I said, okay, I got to try something else. And this allows me the chance to hear everyone's stories, their movie, if you will, right? And that other piece is the people piece, is being able to help them find like what's important to them and making key introductions, whether it's to people or companies or whatever that might be. I really enjoy the matchmaking piece. So selfishly, I see myself in this for the long haul, but I do think it needs to take on new flavors, because like everyone else, you know, I get bored. I want to continue to grow and learn more. So I do have aspirations of kind of moving more into some of the talent management functions, because, you know, there's one piece of acquiring that talent, but then you work so hard to get it into an organization. How can we nurture and grow and empower them to be more successful in an organization?
Awesome. So you talked about metrics and using that to inform decisions in terms of recruiting. How do you add in that personal touch, Earl?
Absolutely. So kind of how I started this conversation when you guys asked me a little bit about myself, it's the connectivity piece. It's standing out and not just becoming a number. So I really like, you know, to really tell people a little bit about me, about my experiences, who I am outside of work. And a lot of the times that opens it up and makes them feel comfortable to share the same details with myself, or excuse me, with me. So I really like to see if people will show me their personal side before we start jumping into the professional needs. It also makes them a little bit more transparent about their personal and professional needs. When they start talking about their family or they start talking about things that they're passionate about, it really, I found, uncovers those details you don't always get from a high-level screen. So I think doing the work, getting that connection before you start to get to the content, But then to weave the data piece back into the personalization, it's also having that criteria and referencing it for the future. There's been plenty of times that I've taught other talent professionals some of my tips and tricks, and one of them is keeping an Excel spreadsheet on almost every conversation I've ever had. That's something I can reference and hold on to those nuggets and use in different conversations for the future to really help maintain that relationship.
I love that. And I'm like, you've done so many phone screens, Earl. Like, how do you have that much data? It's a lot.
It can be a little overwhelming. Yes, it is. I mean, I break it up each tab by year, but I keep all those conversations running by each individual. And it, you know, just helps deepen the relationship every single time I talk to someone, as well as minimize the need to spend all that time kind of rebuilding that relationship each time.
Awesome. So I wanted to ask one more follow-up question, because we might have like entry-level, you know, TA professionals or people that are less seasoned in their career. And a lot of candidates are hesitant to put themselves out there personally because, of course, there's discrimination, there's microaggressions, there are things that occur in the evolution or systemically in interviews and in the selection process. So how do you find your superpower in that, where you're getting to know someone to provide this information, this narrative to hiring teams, but making sure that the candidate feels safe in that process?
Yeah, great question. I think the end of your question right there is the beginning of my answer. And it's creating that place of safety, right? Like first letting them know, like, kind of we're allies in this together, right? I'm here to create a relationship with you. Before we talk about the role, let's talk about, you know, Earl and Bob or Samantha or whoever that person's name might be, to create a rapport for the long term and really highlight to them that my end goal is to help get you where you want to go. So demonstrating and leading by example first, by always revealing my information and also providing some of the framework, right? There's those topics that we don't talk about at the Thanksgiving conversation, at the Thanksgiving table, because it's going to create maybe too much tension. We stay away from politics, we stay away from religion, and we stay away from things that might get us in trouble, but let's still be vulnerable, right? Let's talk about, you know, as I did before, like your food or maybe your music or maybe sports. And there's got to be common ground there. Going back to the data piece, do some homework. Look people up. Look them up on social media. So maybe they've got their favorite sports team as their profile picture, or they're talking about a place that they went, or even on the resume. Sometimes people put hobbies out there. It's a real easy, low-lying fruit to start that conversation, and then you have the responsibility to edit when you bring that to your hiring teams. Right? There's things that you want to make sure that you kind of cater to that conversation by knowing your hiring managers and really be that efficient matchmaker.
Now, Earl, you talked about talent management and retention and the employee life cycle. I want to know, what are your keys to advising employers on employee retention? How do you keep the candidate once you get them?
I think it's the personal piece again. You know, I think there's a really big temptation to say, this is what this individual does. This is the experience they brought to the table. These are their strengths professionally. But not really speaking to them about what do you want next, right? Really having that proactive conversation and removing some of those barriers and really enabling their success. So if someone's, you know, entry-level talent, or there's someone that's an executive that's been doing that role for an extensive period of time in your organization, the approach should still be the same, where you're treating them like a person, really digging in and trying to understand where they want to go within your org and helping empower them to get there. Just because someone's senior, just because someone's been successful as an executive, doesn't mean that they don't really need a little bit of a help and maybe some exposure to those areas for their continual growth.
Yeah, I love that too. I was just thinking about retention, and I've been telling my team that we need to encourage ourselves and our teams to think about retention as we prepare to start the interview process and the recruiting process, because I think people don't think about it, but our roles are so pivotal in TA as far as welcoming people into the organization and the experience that they have, and making sure that they feel connected, that there's a personal touch. And I think that is kind of what's missing in TA today. I've experienced, you know, a lot of candidates are not trusting of recruiters because, you know, our communication, it boils down to communication, period. I think, mm-hmm. because I've been ghosted. And I'm like, I'm a recruiter. How am I being ghosted? I mean, Earl, have you been ghosted? And how do you, if you had to teach a class or a course to recruiters on like those basics that they always need to connect with, and maybe they say, oh, I'm too overwhelmed. I have any recs. I can't keep up with all these candidates. So something's going to slip through the cracks. How would you advise them on making sure that candidates have a positive experience, even though they have a high rec load?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, ghosting is an unfortunate reputation that our profession has associated with it. And I've always been a quality over quantity person, you know, whether it's personal relationships, whether it's requisition management, whether it's executive relationships, I can't do the best job I can do to 100 of those individuals or 100 requisitions. So be selective, right? If you're going to make an investment with a candidate, okay, it's one thing if you screen a profile or a resume and there's not that actual interaction, okay, you're using the system to send a message. There should always be closure, right? There shouldn't be that quote-unquote black hole syndrome where people apply to an organization and never hear back. If you have that issue going on, it's a real simple systematic fix that your ATS can be adjusted to make sure that someone's at least getting the quote-unquote loop closed. But if you spend time to interact with someone and have a discussion, we're all busy. It's a 5-minute phone call. It's a 5-minute email. It's a 5-minute text, even less if you're efficient. You can leverage templates, but keep it personal. You know, I mean, nobody wants a canned response when they spoke to you and made that connection, hopefully on the phone. If you saw some value in that individual's profile and you developed a rapport during a phone conversation, everyone deserves that personal touch to at least understand, you know, that they won't be moving forward in the process. And I think the best gift or the best sense of you doing an efficient job is getting a referral. I love it. You know, I don't like turning folks down more than anyone else. But when I'm closing that door with someone and they tell me, hey, thank you so much for this opportunity to connect with you. I've really enjoyed the conversation and learning more about the organization. Although I won't be moving forward, I'd love to refer, you know, whoever that person might be. Oh, my gosh, mission accomplished. You're doing something right. That's for sure.
You know, HR and TA is very different, but we all have the same goal. And, you know, it's a perfect recipe when you can find two departments that can work together to merge and support the people. Where have you seen it done great? And what does that look like? What are some of those qualities and keys to success?
Wow. Really, really good question. And I would definitely agree with you because I've worked in some organizations that have done it better than others. And I've got a couple of those kind of idols or folks that have done it. And I'm like, wow, I wish this person was like Susie or whoever that might be. So off the top of my head, I'm going to say some keys to success would be one, alignment, right? Going back to the data conversation from earlier in our discussion here is making sure that we're all on the same page. HR, TA, the business, the hiring manager, we need to have our quote unquote ducks in a row before we go out to market and try and execute something. So really making sure that we're having those deep conversations. We're not using just email to communicate. We're spending time to be more than just HR, to be more than just TA, to be more than just the hiring manager, to really develop meaningful relationships so that we kind of understand each other a little bit more deeply. And I think that that's going to lead to long-term success. Second, very closely aligned is communication, regular communication. It's not just, here's a resume or, you know, hey, Carla, this is someone that I found and sourced. What do you think? It's picking up the phone. It's having that conversation with you. So you see me as that true partner and someone that's going to really stand out from just being, you know, a cog in the wheel. And then third is empathy, right? Really being understanding of that person's role, that function. When I was new to corporate America, I didn't really understand the diversity of functionality that an HR generalist provides. And I would get frustrated sometimes that they weren't more experienced or strong in the recruiting process, right? I'm like, they're recruiters too. But I started to understand like employer relations and how draining that must be. And, you know, being in the comp cycle and benefit selection. And I'm like, wow, those are a lot of things that I don't necessarily touch. And to really understand that the time of the year or what all the other balls they might be juggling when this is just one facet of the overall function that they play.
I agree. Recruiters these days, they're afraid to pick up the phone. I don't know why. I just don't know why. It's like when I started recruiting, you know, everybody was smiling and dialing, and now everybody's clicking and clacking.
Yep.
So
the phone is your friend. The phone is your friend. And in a lot of my trainings, I always one of my slides is, what is the most powerful tool in recruiting? And I let everyone in the room start to talk and discuss and, you know, weigh in on, you know, the various platforms and technologies they're using. And then I always inevitably pop up the phone image on the screen. And that's just, you don't have to wait for someone to respond to an in-mail. You don't have to wait and respond to a text message. When you dial and someone picks up, there's your connection point. There's your opportunity. You got 30 seconds. Capture their attention. Tell a funny joke. You know, ask them something about their profile. You can instantly connect and drive the temperature of that conversation by the tone of your voice and the way that you interact with that person on the phone.
Facts. Earl, you often say, we're getting to the end of our podcast, but you say, know your superpower. And so, mm-hmm. So what is your superpower and how do you work it?
Wow. Thank you. Yeah. You know, it took me a while to really find that because like most other folks, I think I had a little imposter syndrome when I first came into corporate America and, you know, I was following other people's scripts rather than writing my own story. So I think, you know, the beauty of life is that we're all different. We all bring different things to the table. And I had to take some time to reflect and really understand what can I do really well and what comes relatively easy. And I think number one is relationship building. You know, I can get on the bus and I will talk someone's ear off. That poor person sitting right next to me, I'm going to find a way to start talking to them, right? Like I can talk to children, CEOs, everything in between, just because I'm down to earth and I'm always myself. So I think relationship building is definitely one of my core successes and key attributes. And then also is sourcing. I love the hunt. Yeah. I really like to get creative. I'm not the only person that can do it. So I'll also look for help for other people that do it better than I do. But I'm kind of a bullion geek. I don't use just one tool. And I like to use dad humor and cheesy jokes to really break the ice. And that's been successful for me.
Tell us one of your dad jokes, Earl.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Okay.
Put Earl on the spot.
What did the dad buffalo say to his son when he dropped him off at college?
Yeah, we don't know.
Bye, son.
That is a true dad joke. I love it. I've never heard that. My husband says dad jokes all the time. That's a good one. Earl talks about sports all the time. So I got to ask you your favorite football team, your favorite baseball team, and basketball.
Oof. Yeah. I'm a New York guy all the way through. So from a basketball, I love my Knicks. Baseball, it's the Yankees. And football, it is the New York Giants. You know, unfortunately, it's NBA playoff season right now. And my Knicks didn't make it as far as I would like. So I've been living vicariously through the Nuggets. But I am a New York sports fan through and through.
Awesome. Well, we thank you, Earl, for coming into the salon with us today for your first podcast. We hope it wasn't too painful.
Absolutely not, ladies. Thank you so much for having me, making this such a comfortable experience and some wonderful questions along the way. So hopefully this is one of many to come in the future.
Thank you. So if people are like, wow, that Earl is awesome, which you all should be thinking, how would they should they just reach out to you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, LinkedIn's a real easy platform to find me. You'll see I'm pretty responsive. So send a connection request, you know, a note, smoke signal. I mean, anyway, you put it up there, I'll find it and I'll get to you. That's
all right. Thank you so much, Earl, again. And thank you to our audience for listening to our podcast. We appreciate you all and your support. And we'll catch you on the next episode of the Career Salon Podcast with HR Twins.
Looking for a network to elevate your career goals? Membership with the Black in HR has benefits designed to elevate you as a professional. Our members grow their careers, connecting through networking events, professional courses, and social groups. The Elite Membership Program includes discounts on coaching and courses, private events, and free masterclasses from world-class instructors. Visit theblackinhr.com to register and join us.
This is Carla, the HR expert.
And this is Camille, the recruiting expert.
And we're the HR Twins. You just finished an episode of the Career Salon Podcast.
Be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at The Career Salon. And don't forget to subscribe and follow on all podcast platforms for upcoming episodes.